We're on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Moving and traveling again. I don't know what's going on. Probably before the next shutdown. Just want to check in real quick. Remind all of you. Mark Trump's going to cover for me today. I'm looking over to see if they're getting in line over on the plane. It's always interesting when he jumps in here. Takes us some places we certainly haven't thought. Want to remind all of you about the Dizdar event coming up. I'm heading to Chad's right now. Actually, jumping on the plane. I'll see a lot of you down there when we get down there to Moody, Texas. Just remind you of the Russ Dizdar event. Go online, sign up for that thing. We had a good push yesterday. Russ did an absolutely fabulous job of making a presentation. So, I wanted to keep my perfect attendance intact. I'm going to be lurking out here, Mark. I'm not going to be coming in and talking and all that stuff. I'm going to be listening and watching like everybody else. So, thanks for covering for us today, folks. We love you. I'll see you on Monday, Mark. Take her away, buddy.
Well, thanks coach. What a blessing. Thank you for letting me chat and put out what God's put on my heart. I had Spencer put this up. This is the kind of stuff that I do, kind of an update on me. I've settled into my new job and been here about a year and a half, more responsibilities, but I try to break away as much as I can to put my hands on God's creation. And you know, this tree that you see in that tractor in the top right, top left is a big tree that was in my yard, and I bought that home 1998, so over 20 years ago, and that tree was harvested. That tree was harvested. Are you ready for the harvest? I mean, that tree God knew would serve this purpose. We milled it. I built a table out of it. And I'm going to bless my son with that. I got a couple more pictures of the table if y'all want to see. But Clay showed up last night and helped sand and assemble the benches. And I put the trailer. It was starting to rain. I threw the table up in that trailer there and made the second bench. I think I got another picture of the finished work. But I had just stained it and, you know, just doing stuff with my hands. And it just really gets me back to earth. We're made of earth. The trees, they grow from earth. And coach, that's a trailer I brought all your lights up there in, so that's serving a purpose. So with all that said, you know, really glad Clay got to show up. Fellowship as much as you can with folks. And well, let's just rip into it. I got a text from a brother this morning from a Pfizer executive. So he sent me this article. Spencer, you may be able to pull that one up. But this article is about a former VP of Pfizer who is leading some of the vaccinations. And if you scroll up a little bit, it talks about the conspiracy of the vaccination passport. And this is a Pfizer executive, so I don't know if we could see that enough to read it. There is no possibility current variants of COVID-19 will escape. It's just a lie. Governments around the world are repeating this lie, manufacturing billions of vials. And this is a VP. Now, does he have a beef to pick with Pfizer? Probably. But all of this is about discernment. Discernment. So Father God is watching down on us right now, hoping that we discern properly, hoping that we can see through the deception. You know, but instead, there's a meme that actually my wife sent me. of how these folks really think about the vaccination. Pull that one up, that picture, Spencer. Take a look at this. So they'll stand in line to get a social security number to be a part of 1B system. And then they'll wear masks, a false symbol that does nothing. Anyone in the military that's went through training knows what a mask does. They know what tear gas does. They know what all these different agents do. And they know what type of mask you need to stop breath. You can't stop breath. You can't. You got to filter it. You got to have canisters. You got to have incoming canisters and outgoing canisters. And they just want the vaccination now. They want it. So, fatherhood, what about, what's God thinking? What is God thinking of these people? I mean, the question comes up, you know, about whether Jesus would wear a mask. Any thoughts on this before we move forward with some, I'm going to get into judgments, what I'm going to get into. But any thoughts from the crowd? Where's it all going, right? So fatherhood. So here our father is looking down on us, wanting us. He's given us the instructions. But what does he do? What does God do whenever we misbehave? What do you do when your son misbehaves? Well, it depends on how old he is. Depends on your mood. We have a lot of things that change our judgment. We have a lot of conditions. What should God do? You know, think about where technology is going. When God created us and gave us decision making, he basically allowed us to decide our fate. And then he sits back and watches. So the future is going to be made of systems, machines. Machines that decide on their own. Machines that run autonomously. Machines that have decision making. Artificial intelligence-based systems. So what happens to a machine when it acts up? You usually have loss of life when a machine acts up, or loss of equipment. Something gets out of time in a factory and you got a 2-ton spool of paper and it rolls through the factory across the employees. You know, so these AI systems, they get cranky. How do you treat them? Who's the father of the AI systems, right? Whoever turns them on, whoever lets them decide. Well, God did that. God turned us on and let us decide. And ever since then, there's been judgment. Judgment. So what's been eating at my mind is this whole judgment cycle and how the earth goes through these cycles of judgment. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's verse 2 of the Bible, and darkness covered it. Darkness. Did God create darkness? So these questions have been eating at me for a long time, and kind of what to do. Any thoughts on the original darkness? Do we have any takers for that question? Anyone want to talk? Myra?
Good morning, Saints. Brother Trump, so good to see you and to hear you talk. You're so knowledgeable. In regard to the darkness, my belief is that based on a scripture that, you know, the word, it looks like it was something else going on before the earth was formed. And it was a lot of chaos. Thank you.
Chaos, a lot of chaos. Randy, you want to talk about Tohu and Bohu? I mean, these are the things from the beginning. These are the things that are coming again. Are they coming again? Well, let's just kick it off. Let's see what judgment is. So Webster 1828, let's take a look. This is interesting. And if you gradually look through this, interesting. I punch it into just Google, Webster 1828 and Judgment, it popped up for me. It was one of the first, yeah, that one there. Judgment. So this is interesting. The faculty of the mind. Okay, look at how they word this. The faculty of the mind by which man is enabled to compare ideas and ascertain the relations of terms and propositions. A man of clear judgment, the judgment may be biased based on prejudice. So what's he saying? What's he saying? The faculty of the mind. The Bible talks about discernment, right? The determination of the mind. Just keep discernment in the back of your mind. The determination of the mind formed from comparing relations of ideas. Is judgment good or bad? Do you see any connotations of good or bad here? Not really, right? What do you think, Jeffrey?
Well, you got to think of judgment as discernment as a believer in Jesus Christ, not if you think of the world. See, I was at a grocery outlet here in Sacramento, California, getting pomegranate juice, and I was wearing my hat, Coach State hat. And he came over there, and he has a shirt on. He's a tall dude, and he works for Amazon, and he was like high on something. But he says, "Oh, so it's a hat, this and this and this and this and that. And I'm a Christian, and this and that and this." And I told him, "Wow, in respect to what I noticed when I walk around California, people claim to know Jesus Christ, but they say, do not judge." And yes, you do judge, because you're judging me.
That's right.
Hebrews chapter 5, in regarding people, I notice, are still in milk. They're still in infant stasis. So they've been programmed to do not say, do not judge. And they cannot discern the gift of darkness from light.
That's true, Jeffrey. There's a lot of folks like that. Look at this next line. The sentence of doom.
Mark,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, isn't judgment evaluation?
Mm-hmm. By comparing ideas, it's an evaluation, yes. You weigh things, you weigh it. That's right. But look at this. In law, the sentence of doom pronounced in any cause, civil or criminal. So there's our negative connotation. It may be rendered a verdict, but really it should be a just judgment, right? Scroll on up, scroll on down there, Spencer. Keep going. In scripture, the spirit of wisdom and prudence enabling a person to discern right and wrong, good and evil. Give the king thy judgments. A remarkable punishment and extraordinary judgment. So judgment, we're headed into these judgment verses, and what I did is I've always wondered, how did we escape judgment? If we're all evil, how did Noah survive judgment? How did Adam and Eve move forward? How did Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah and those lands continue?
Judgment. Hey, Mark?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just one thought that came to mind is that, you know, what distinguishes man from the animals? Mm-hmm. The animals don't exercise judgment. They have instinct to operate the way they do.
Interesting. Animals have instinct, but they don't know judgment. Good from evil? They don't know good from evil? Is that true? Think about it. We were created that way without knowing good from evil. We had to be taught that a stove was hot. We didn't know that. So who enlightens us? Our parents. And then when we come out from the cover of our parents, Jesus or another spirit enlightens us. Those are our choices. So as a parent, you cover your child's knowledge of good and evil. You send them off to public school, you are covering your child. You send them to a church that's teaching them things, you cover your child until He goes out from under your cover through rebellion, in my opinion, and then he's covered by God himself. So, Mark, yes, sir.
Yeah, judgment is kind of based on your standard. There's a standard by which you judge, and that standard is going to be set by whatever authority you come under. And judges, there's judges for criminality. There's also judges for sporting events.
Yes, scroll back up, Spencer.
So you're being judged based on a set of standards. So our standards are the scriptures, or they're some other standard that we agree to accept.
A little more, Spence. Yep. Check out number two here. Keep going up. It should be number one then. But this is, it's based on your own biases. So you know truth. So you have a standard in you. Is that truth Jesus? It's close to Jesus. I mean, you should be pursuing Jesus, but it's not. It's the Holy Spirit, which you are supposed to discern and learn and let guide you. But Jesus is the only truth. That's your benchmark, sound judgment, bias by prejudice. Judgment supplies the want. So do you have a want of truth, or do you have a want of knowledge? So this is true. Judgment is subjective by the person. So if you got a court, there's a big deal over the jury of who they select, jury of your peers. Some say it should be from your state. Some say it should be from your community. Why? Because of these biases, so that you can get equal justice, which we know is absent. So let's move on. We kind of are framing judgment in a father's eyes. You withhold judgment. You withhold judgment, you withhold discipline until you need to. There's a fine line of when you decide discipline is needed. And that's your judgment as to when a child crosses that threshold. Well, what does God do? What does God do? Let's start in the verses. We've got a lot of verses to read. Let's go to Genesis 3 and read chapters 1 through 9, or verses 1 through 9. The serpent was more subtle. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst you can't eat. So we'll keep going. The serpent said to the woman, "For God doth know." And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, she eat it. Okay. And in verse, it keeps going down where she gives it to Adam, and the eyes of them were opened. Okay. So this is when their eyes opened. And then they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. They heard the voice of the Lord. Now, earlier it says, in the previous chapter, it says that they were naked and were not ashamed. It gives you that in the previous chapter of the Bible. So now they heard God walking. They got scared. And he was afraid because I was naked. The very reason they weren't ashamed before, they are ashamed now. Judgment. They felt like they were being judged. So here comes God. What does he do? And he said, "Who told you to do this?" Right? Scroll on up there. The man said to woman, "Who thou gavest to me?" And the Lord God said, "What hast thou done?" Isn't that what he asked Cain? "What hast thou done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And here comes judgment. Are you ready? And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle." So judgment occurred. That's the doom you heard about in the definition. "And above every beast on the field, and thy belly shall go, they shall not." So did the serpent go about on his belly before?
I would say absolutely not.
Isn't that interesting? Go ahead, Rochelle. You had a question, I think, right?
Oh, I didn't know if you could see hands, and I didn't want to interrupt.
No, interrupt. Y'all interrupt. Just jump in there.
Yeah, I really love Genesis. Yeah, first of all, I think Adam and Eve, they took on a responsibility that they were not ready for. They decided they wanted to be the ones to determine what was right and wrong. And so this judgment is almost a natural consequence because God told them this would happen. And so now that it's happened, they realize, wow, we really should have listened. So, you know, that's why they feel naked. They know that they've done something wrong. It's lots interesting. He gives the serpent. Doesn't he go to the serpent first with the curses?
Yep.
He's the that's first 14. Curses, right?
And then it continues. That's right. It continues on with God's judgment. I will greatly multiply sorrow and conception and bring forth children. So what do we try to do? Women try to get out of judgment. We try to get out of these judgments, right, through medicine and this and that. So these are things that are just a pointer to how a father judges for us to learn from. So let's move on. So there's Adam's judgment. All of man was judged right there by one man's, quote, crime or deception. Now, be thinking about the world. Let's move on to Noah, Genesis 7, 1 through 5. So if we go to Genesis 7, at 1 through 5, and the Lord said, Noah, come out and righteous before me in a generation. So here we go. Adam and Eve were no longer righteous before God. And here's Noah. We know the flood's coming, okay? We know it's getting ready to happen, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. What did Noah do different to not be consumed? Of every clean beast thou shalt take, of fowls of the air, seven days I will cause it to rain, and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from the face of the earth.
All he did was believe what the Lord told him and did Amen. What he was told.
So before Noah did this, he pleaded to God to go save the people. And God led him. God withheld judgment for 100 years for him to go minister to the people and try to find righteousness. So Noah was repentful for the nations. Who is going before God on our behalf, you know what I mean, to withhold God's judgment?
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus is now, but this is Noah, man. So do we have men like that now? How do we become a Noah? How do we escape judgment? And it isn't really escaping. It's being finding grace in the eyes of God is what we're after, right? So Noah's generations were judged. Judgment occurred, and how did God do it? He waited until everyone was consumed, and then only Noah was left. That's how long God waited to deliver judgment, okay? Let's move on to Genesis 19, 12 through 19. Genesis 19, verse 12. And it came the man unto the Lord, hast thou any son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, and whoever hast in city, bring them out of this place. So here's Lot, and the angels talking to Lot, telling him to go in there and get them out of there. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. Think about our country, guys and gals. I mean, this is where we are. So what's God feeling? What's he thinking? Well, let's see what he did during the times of Lot. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So the Lord sent the angels. Lot went in and spoke his sons, which were married, his daughters, rise up, get out of this place, and he'll destroy the city. But no one listened. They mocked him. So isn't this way we feel about the people taking the vaccination? Isn't this how we feel when we try to speak truth about the mask? Think about Lot going into the cities where his family was. This is judgment, guys. This is what's coming. This is what it's about. When the morning arose and the angel hastened Lot, arise, take thy wife and two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men held up his hand upon the hand. And it came to pass they got judged. His wife turned around. She was turned to salt, most likely, or ash or whatever, you know, that's what happened. So that's the judgment that befell seven cities. How did Lot avoid, back to Noah, how did Lot avoid the iniquity that overtook everyone? Was it peer pressure? Did they not know it? Was it a deception that they didn't know that they were doing wrong?
Hey, you know? Mark.
Yeah.
I feel there's a difference here. I feel mm-hmm. like Noah was obedient mm-hmm. to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he was saved through the destruction. And I feel like Lot, there was an intercessor there. I feel like there was someone on the outside who helped him. Okay. I mean, there was someone on the outside who helped Noah too, but you know what I mean? There was an in-between, like God's, that there was an intercessor there.
Yeah. Who prayed for him. Go back to Adam and Eve. See, they got judgment, but they survived. They survived in a different form, right? So each of these are examples of how God judges. And these little differences are maybe how these people survived.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'm just going to say, going back to Adam and Eve, when I talk mm-hmm. about them being naked, they were clothed with the glory of God. And how I can prove that is when Jesus left the tomb, all his clothes were laying in there. He didn't come out of there naked like Mel Gibson was showing. He was covered in the glory of God.
Mm.
He retook the glory that Adam and them had lost. Christ.
Amen.
Retook.
So maybe a light. We would perceive it as a light, maybe, or something, right, Alan? I don't know. Amen. What is the glory of God?
Yeah, the glory of God, bro. We don't know yet, but we're going to find that out just as soon as we get there, bro.
Well, we know from my witness testimonies that it's hard to look at God even when you try. And the Bible says no man can look upon God. So these are things that equate to light, to maybe like looking at a welding thing, it burns your eyes or whatever. I mean, maybe there is something to that, right? The glory of God might be pretty bright. Amen.
Well, what's the crazy about it? When they fell, the animal kingdom, everything fell when they fell. And so everything mm-hmm. was changed as soon as that happened.
Amen. Well, let's move on a little bit. More judgment. Any other input? Any other thoughts on this before we move on?
Mark?
So, yeah.
Noah was judged righteous.
Mm.
So judgment isn't all negative. Judgment.
That's right.
We're looking for righteous judgment. We're looking to be found righteous. And the judgment is, hey, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what we're looking for, is that kind of judgment.
Amen. Amen. I'm with you. Let's look at Psalms 106.
And Mark, with Noah, you got to understand, too, that his DNA was perfect. Mm. So we're back to the DNA issue that and
that's
we're facing
true.
That today. You know,
well,
what we're talking about, we're facing that, man.
Well, we are. And that goes back to how did Noah avoid it? Because if it's DNA, that means that something changed the others that weren't Noah. So what did they do to change their DNA? Was it a vaccination? Was it a food? Was it alchemy? Did they put them in a lab and plug them into all these different genetic things? What was the technology like that they used? Was it all voodoo science and magic?
That was angelic. It was angels.
Angelic?
Amen.
Did the angels have a lab, a room to do it, or did they do it outside in the dirt? We don't know, right? That's the point I'm making. We don't know how they did it. We just know that Noah didn't get modified, the DNA. Now, I believe that's why judgment happens. My conclusion after we finish is going to be our blood gets so messed up that we can't make good eggs and good semen. We can't make good babies. And then God cleanses the earth of all the bad DNA And the few survivors have good DNA.
Well, Mark, you know what's so crazy? If you look at this virus, they call it, we know it's genetically spliced. And I'll tell you how I know personally, because when I never went to the doctor, but I know I had it. And me and my wife both, but I had it worse than she did. So I got a hold of ivermectin. I took ivermectin, my second dose of ivermectin, it was gone. So how can ivermectin, which kills parasites, stuff like that, kill a virus? Doesn't even make sense. So that shows you that we know it's been man-made spliced. It's got different variants in there.
Yeah, we could, there's so many rabbit holes with this virus. First of all, there's multiple viruses. It's no longer the 19 strain. So by even saying COVID-19, you're misled. 2020 did occur. 2020 changed whatever occurred in 19, no matter what. 2021 occurred. We're in this year. Normally, there's seven flu strains a year, six or seven. Six or seven. So all of this is a lie from the pit of hell. So with this said, Psalms 106, this is the judgment cycle when God sent his people into the land of Shinar. Okay, verse 12. Verse 12, it says, and he saved them from the hand of them and the water covered, and then they believed his words. Okay, so here the people believe, and soon they forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. He gave them their request. So this is before judgment. So how does God work? What's the nature of God? He is God. He's the same. He's outside time. He's always the same. He deals with people through time differently. And he deals with people through time the same, just depending on how God deals with them. But if you look, he gave them their request. So if you want to sin as a nation, and you want to sin as a community, you want to sin as a family, or a church, or a school, a group of people, God probably won't intervene. Now, if he's got a purpose for one of those people, he may cause something to happen to disrupt that event. I mean, things happen. You have flat tires, you don't make it to where you need to go, and you miss out on whatever's there. They envied Moses. They envied Moses' status. They envied his relationship with God, most likely, right? And Aaron. The earth opened up and swallowed up and covered up. So God's judging. A fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up. They made a call and worshiped the molten image. They changed their glory. And they forgot the God, their Savior, wondrous works in the land of Ham. Ham is the one who brought iniquity forward, right? Therefore, it said he would destroy them had not Moses stood before him on the beach to turn away his wrath. So here we have somebody intervening again. Another similar story like Lot. You know, like Noah, can we plead for a nation? Can we go ask God to give me a chance and I'll go help them? Yes, unless God's inconsistent. God's looking for people to go do this, right? But they despised the land. They despised it, he said. They wanted their iniquity. They didn't want that nice land. They murmured in their tents, and they lifted up their hand to them to overthrow them in the wilderness. They joined themselves to Baal Peor.
Hey, Mark.
Yes.
The one thing I'm seeing here, the common denominator to the examples you've given us, is that they all denied truth. They denied listening to the truth. You know,
what did they choose instead, though?
Well, yeah, by denying truth, you're choosing sin.
They actually chose sin, yeah. And that's how they denied truth. So look at Adam and Eve.
Right.
They chose sin, and then they realized they were naked.
But like in Noah's case and in Lot's case, those people had a choice because they had They had Noah and they had Lot there as an example, and they still chose to deny truth. So in that case, that's, you know, why judgment came down is because they denied the truth.
Amen. So here we are. These people are eating sacrifices of the dead. They provoke God to anger, and the plague broke out among them. This is what God did. A plague broke out among them, probably from their acts. Think about all the blood worshipers, blood drinkers, adrenochrome. A plague broke out among them right after he said they're eating the children, probably. Dead sacrifices. Well, it could be the dead animals, right? It doesn't say. But they angered him. And he spake, and the nations, they did not destroy concerning whom the Lord commanded them. So the Lord commanded them to go in there and destroy this nation. But what's verse 35 say? But they were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. All right, guys, if y'all have ever used the interlinear Bible, you can look up mingled. That term mingled in verse 35 is the Hebrew word Arab, A-R-A-B. Mingled people were Arabs. God sent his people in there to destroy them. Verse 34, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled. They became Arab. Arabs have bad blood. Arabs have different DNA markers that they don't understand, gives them sickle cell anemia, infertility, and all these other things. God wanted to go wipe out all the men, women, and children and not mingle with them, not become Arab. Arabs are mingled. It says it right in the Bible. Look up Arab blood disorders. You'll find all kinds. Quick, do that real quick. Spencer, look up Arabic blood disorder. And I did this a while back talking about DNA. See, God wants to purge bad DNA. That's how he works over and over and over. Look at all these things. There's all kinds of hereditary blood disorders in these Middle Eastern patients. It's like a library of information about problems they have with genetic reproduction and things. It's endless. And that's what God is writing here in Psalm 106. So let's go back. Y'all can look at that on your own. Let's go back to Psalm 106. Look at 41. 41 through 48. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen that they hated them, ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them. This is God's people. And they were brought into subjection. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel. So here's God. Many times God worked with them and delivered them. Okay? This is the people in Shinar that he destroyed. He opened the earth, and it swallowed up two-thirds of the Shinar region. Well, that was the Tower of Babel, but he opened up the earth in the Shinar region and it burned. What is under the Middle East? Oil. There's a Natanz nuclear site right now on top of a fault line in Iran. That's the powder keg. So what I believe is going to happen according to these verses, I think that these verses may repeat based on the iniquity of man. In that region, what I anticipate is an earthquake is going to open the land up and all the natural gas on top of the oil reserves will catch on fire and burn all people up. I think that's what's going to happen. God's judgment. That's how God judges. Let's look at Matthew 25.
Hey, Mark, can I jump in?
Yes, ma'am. Sure, please do.
I don't know if any of you have ever heard of this book called Once an Arafat Man. Once an Arafat Man, it's written by Tas Sayada. He was one of Arafat's top hitmen. And then he got booted out of the country and came to the United States and got saved. And now he and his wife are over in the Middle East, and they do a weekly Facebook Live. And they have been talking. It's so interesting what they talk about, what's going on actually there. And they've talked about the Arabs and the United Arab Emirates. Yeah, the United Arab Emirates is seven tribes or states. Mm-hmm. And they are getting involved with a variety of things, including worldwide immunity for COVID. And the Abraham Accords and a lot of things. So they are still very much involved. And it all goes back to Genesis and to the Ishmaelites.
Very good info. I'm familiar with the UAE, United Arab Emirates. I pulled into Dubai in the Navy, and there was nothing. There was one building. And we'd go up in the top of it, and we could look down at the aircraft carrier. That's how big that one building was. But it was only one building. And we formed a perimeter in the sand, and we brought in food vendors. Think about Dubai now. It's like Disney World of the Earth, right? It's huge.
Exactly. And he's been talking about all of that. And he's also talking about how there's a bunch of refugees in one little area. He just talked about it this week. I don't remember all the details, but he said that the conditions are so nasty that the water is causing a lot of disease because they're just defecating and stuff there. And it's getting into the soil and all that thing. So it's quite interesting.
One of the factors that I learned from a friend in Jordan, he's a cybersecurity guy and his family lives in Jordan. And whenever the Syria was getting attacked, they took in Christian refugees into his parents' home in Jordan. And he believes and he contests that the fight is over water. Israel has the best water production and desalinity systems and things like that. They're on the Mediterranean. And the other countries don't have those systems for whatever reason. And they believe that a big chunk of that battle is over water. And, of course, religion's a big part of it, too. But with that said, we're looking at these judgments, and we're trying to figure out what's God doing today. Keep that in context. What's he doing today? When's judgment coming? How do we escape judgment? How do we be seen? How does God see us, right? Let's keep that in mind. Matthew 25. So what we're looking at here is Satan himself. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the hand, depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepare. So let's go to 41. Isaiah. So this is Matthew 25, verse 41. And this was actually Satan. Okay? This is Satan whenever God cast Satan down from his position. If you look at Isaiah 14, verse 12, how thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne, stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. And if I ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. So this is whenever the angels were judged. Ezekiel 28, verse 11, it said, the son of man, take up lamentation upon the king of Tyre, saying to him, thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up this son full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, garden of God, every precious stone. And see, this is Satan, okay? And this is who fell. This is how God works. Thou art the anointed cherub, the covenant that I have set thee. So thou hast upon the mountain of God, thou walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. So this is an angel, God's most cherished angel. Now, go back to the beginning. When does your father judge? As a father, when do you judge? When do you determine discipline needs to be rendered? This is God's most cherished follower, possibly his most cherished creation. I'm wondering, did it hurt him? If my son did this to me, it would hurt me, right? It would hurt me to have to do the things that I would have to do to my son to discipline him. God had to do this to Satan. Moreover, is he has to do this with us. And whenever it comes down to it, in the land of Shinar, it said that he abhorred his inheritance. He used the term abhorred. During the times of Noah, he repented making us. God repented making us. He repented creating us. So is he sad? Is he hurt? Is he upset? What's God feeling when he delivers judgment? These are important, important things that I just, how do I be found in the eyes of God, not that way, right? How do we do that? It's just, so let's go to Revelation 13.
Hey, Mark.
Yes.
He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
No, I agree. I mean, we know we have a loving God, but we also know that we have a God that hates. Some of the times he's hated us, his creation. And that's not taught in the church. And if you don't get that ingrained in your head that he can hate you because of you provoking him so many times and you accepting his leniency so many times. So we're going to finish this up a bit, but if any man have an ear, let him hear. Revelation 13:9. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he causes the earth and them which dwell in it to worship the first beast. Okay, so that's the beast that comes out of the sea, right? And the beast that's on land. The beast on the land makes the people of earth worship the beast of the sea. Okay, the first beast whose deadly wound was healed, that's the beast of the sea, and he does great wonders. So the beast of the land does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on earth by means of those miracles. All right, I got a question. Everyone's wondering about this verse here. Maketh fire come down from the heaven on the earth in the sight of men. What do y'all think that is? Any thoughts? Fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. This is a beast who does great wonders. Are they magical wonders, paranormal? Or is it science? Is it a direct energy weapon? Is it an airborne flame coming down out of heaven? We don't know.
It could be any of those, Mark. There's not enough information there.
That's right. That's right. So this is
wonders. Great wonders.
That's right. This is John writing this, trying to describe it. So put it into context, right? So the beast of the land, remember, Satan can't create. Satan can assemble things that God's created. So if the beasts are using things to enamor us, they aren't creating it necessarily. They aren't creating it. Now, angels have powers, don't get me wrong, but they're in the earthly realm, and I believe they're to some extent restricted to the laws of this realm that God put them in. So that would, yeah, that would kind of lean a different weight on whether or not it's a man-made thing that they're using to bring fire down, or maybe it's an angelic thing. But y'all can decide that on your own.
Mark.
Yeah.
Luke. Let's take the Twin Towers, for example, mm-hmm. when they fell. How steel girders turn into dust?
Microwave.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, these are things that we could look back and kind of make some proof points. But in general, this is judgment. So let's stay on that vein. And deceiveth them. So he deceived them that dwells on the earth. So we already know he's deceiving us by these miracles, which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them, they should make an image to the beast, which had a wound. Why would a beast on the land make us, the people, create an image of the beast of the sea? See, you would think that a beast on the land would want an image of himself for us to worship. But no, he's going to make an image of the beast. There's two beast people. There's two working together. There's two, not one. There's two. And he causes all, both great and small, free and bond, to receive a mark on the right hand or forehead, or you'll get killed. Okay? No man might buy or sell, save he has one of three things. He had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. The mark, the name of the beast, the number of his name. And I know what you're thinking. The mark. Is that a vaccination? The name of the beast. The number 666. It's in the next verse, right? So those are the three things to watch for when it comes to the mark. There's three things. The mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name.
Well, so, just I'm sorry, Mark. Just prior to that, though, to watch for is that this mark is, as you, they're giving you the decision to take the mark. They're not forcing it on you per se. You have to make that decision.
Oh, uncomfortable. In order
for God to throw you out, you have to make this you have to make this willing decision. So there's going to be that question asked before the mark is given. Do you want to serve the beast?
Right. There's got to be a choice. Be a choice.
So see, right now the vaccination is a precursor. You know, it makes you think it might be this what we're reading here. But right now they're not giving you, they're not saying, well, you got to worship the beast. Or, you know, I'm saying that this.
I'm dead on with it.
You're
exactly right. So entomology, is that a word? Entomology, the study of words, right? So is COVID related to the name of the beast? Just a question. I'll throw that out there. I'm not going to research it or anything.
Well, Matthew tells us, was it 24? That there's going to be a lot of pestilences, you know, and so you got the COVID is one, and then there's going to be more to come, you know, and it's going to build up to this, we're reading in Revelations, I believe.
Yeah, I'll let JR in here in a sec, but there's a timing of everything, right? We don't know exactly what time we're in. But we know that all of this stuff is coming. We can kind of see it unfold. So keep your eyes open. Let these verses sink in and always keep in mind God's judgment. JR?
Thank you. I want to bring all this home tomorrow morning. Remind everybody of last call. And let's talk about issues with related to the home, because the home is being just destroyed because of all this mask and this virus and this vaccination, the split of the home and how it's really, really affecting us and what we can do about it.
Amen. Thanks, JR. Revelation 20, verse 11.
Hey, Mark, real quick on the mark thing.
Uh-huh.
I would say, if you think about the mark of Ezekiel, the people who were grieved and had, you know, he says the death angel, just don't kill the people who have my mark on them. So once again, you're talking, but it wasn't a real mark. It was what they did, what they were thinking about, the works they did with their hands. This mark that the beast wants to replicate here is just, it, there's no way you're going to take that mark if you've got God on your mind and you're doing his work. You will recognize it.
Well,
you're not going to be tricked into this.
Well, I don't want to give you a false sense of security, because this is God's deception. God is sending a deception. So, I mean, how good is God at deceiving? I think he'd be pretty good at anything he tried. So just, I understand what you're saying.
The elect won't be deceived. The people who have got, who are looking at Jesus and doing God's work won't be deceived. They won't want to worship the things that the beast is offering. They won't want to.
But a lot of them still do, and they say they don't. A lot of them aren't, and they say they are. So we always err on the side of, you know, this is what will happen if. Okay, I understand what you're saying, though, and I agree. Naomi, you need back in? Your hands up. Okay, so
I'm sorry, I forgot to take it down.
No problem. Revelation 20:11. And I saw a great white throne. So now we're talking about the final judgment. I had to leave this in there because it's judgment. I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. The earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. The earth and heaven. There's no place for the earth and heaven for him. Isn't that something? I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. So this book of life idea, we could go into that in another day, but Jesus wrote it and Jesus opens it. Whose name's in it when he wrote it? And then what names get blotted out? And the final question is, who does he not know? And if he says, I don't know you, are you in the book? Were you even in the book from the beginning? If he don't know you, these are questions. The sea gave up the dead, which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead. Can y'all imagine when this happens? And they were judged, every man according to their works. And the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Now, if this is true, the sea gave up the dead, which dead? And the hell delivered up the dead, which dead? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's if you're one of his. So will you, your body be coming up from the ground? Will your, I don't know. Your body is your body, but you, to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. So this might take a little more chatting. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. The end of death. This is the second death. And whoever is not found written in the book of life. So there are people not written. So Jesus says, I don't know you. And we know there's people not written. Not blotted out. Not written. So are the people not written not of God? And if the people that are not written not of God, are they of his bloodline? I know, Randy, you won't come in.
Mark, I just want to say you did a good job, brother. If you went from Genesis to Revelation, that's hard to do in 1 hour, but you did a good job.
I got one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One thing. God starts with the tree of life, and in Revelation there, you're talking about the book of life. That's actually translated the tree of life again. He ends with the tree of life. Who is it? It's Christ.
Amen.
It's Christ. So if you want to get back to the tree of life, folks, it's only through Christ. That's in a nutshell.
Amen. Let's finish up with Jeremiah 18. Another friend sent me this passage some time ago, Jeremiah 18, 8 through 12. We're right at 8 o'clock. I'll try to get through it. Jeremiah 18, 8 through 12. Hey, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil. So what do we do here, right? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I have thought to do unto them. Judgment. So he's planning judgment, but if we repent from that evil, he'll stop his judgment. And in that instant, I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning kingdom to build and plant it. If it do good evil in my sight, that it obey my voice, and I will repent the good wherewith I said, now therefore go speak to the men of Judah. And they said, there's no hope. So basically, the Lord went and told Judah this, and he would spare them if they would turn from their ways, and they would cause their ways to do good. And they said, there is no hope. So the people said, there's no hope. We will walk with our own devices. We will everyone do the imagination of our heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen who hath heard such things. So here God gives us an out. Just like Paul. Paul wrote the letters to the cities, gave them an out, and they chose to fall except for a couple. And Paul died knowing that they didn't listen. The brothers fell. But God gives us the ability to get out of this. It's been a blessing to be here today, and I just hope you get a little something out of God's judgment and what he's like. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.